had. But honey, now I
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 1065-251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to any remaining text, but thank you always for listening. Joining us now on the line, he is chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Comes on the show about this time every Tuesday. I'm pleased to have chairman, John Wall, with us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
No, I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Thanks for making time. I hope you're doing well. Let's start here. How you feeling about November 5th? I continue to be in awe of how terrible I think is the Harris campaign, and trying to be objective as possible, but at face value, you scratch your head at some of the calls. I mean, doing a two state town hall event with Liz Cheney, like, who is that for? And there's just a lot of oddities about it. But if you're a Republican, I mean, you got to feel. I don't think it's a slam dunk, but you got to feel at least good about where you are.
No, I mean, I think you're right. And look, and we're not taking anything for granted. You know, I've been out every single day. I've only been home about one day in the last week. And you can probably hear it in my voice. I am losing my voice. But that's how important this election cycle is. That's how important the consequences of losing good government, of losing this election, because what's on the ballot this November is not Kamala Harris versus President Trump. This is far bigger. It's a battle between light and darkness, freedom and slavery. And I started mentioning this so much in my speeches, and like, forget personality, forget even a candidate. As much as we support our nominee, Donald Trump, this is about whether America stays the America that we have known and loved. This is about whether we understand things like the fact that we're a republic, not a democracy, that we're actually going to have a fiscally responsible government, that we're going to stand for the rights and the freedoms of individuals and put people first. And there's just so many things that you can highlight, because if we don't get if we don't get this country back on track, we will lose it forever.
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask you this, because we had Angela Fermo on, and let's talk about losing the country forever. Now, the gripe and why you need Trump, and this is like one of the best reasons to vote for him, is that deep state, the administrative state, and it sort of take over these unelected bureaucrats, civil servants, who have a lot of power, and they have a worldview that seems so divorced from what mainstream America believes, and they, you know, you want to change that culture, and I think, like, if Trump wins, like, he's got to go day one. But Fermo and I are talking about it, and this is going to take a while. It may take two or three presidential terms to get it where it's supposed to be on a constitutional, coherently constitutional basis. Like, I think you got to act fast, but it's going to be difficult.
Well, look, you're absolutely right. The start has to happen immediately. But we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out overnight. And I'm going to highlight another. It's not just the deep state. It's important that it is to clear out the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. We also have to immediately start on reforming our education system. Because the socialists they know good and well that he who controls education today controls the country tomorrow. And it's why we've seen this target of putting socialist curriculum into our school systems from the Federal Department of Education that has lost touch with the American people. One of the number one calls I get are from teachers who are shocked by what they're seeing coming in with the curriculum, and they're forced to teach it. These are tests are all centered around this. These are national policies, and I think that's one of the areas we have to most target with the administration, is just returning education back to education. A novel thought. A school should actually teach reading, writing, and arithmetic and not get involved in political ideologies. But it goes across the board. Schools, bureaucracies, and it's this fundamental idea. And I think this is where every average, normal Americans have got to get involved in the process, because it's government's nature to grow. We know it, and I'll be honest. I don't think we can blame them. This is the nature of government. This, from the beginning of time, government has wanted more power. It wanted to increase its size, increase its budget, increase its control over the government. And that's what made America special, is we put checks and balances on that government. And we also left the responsibility with the people. And that is why it's so important that we, the people, stand up. And sometimes we have to tell government no. Maybe it's voting down a tax increase. Maybe it's voting for the right people in office who will downsize government. But we are the ones who have to remain vigilant and make sure government is kept in balance.
Let's talk about people getting engaged. And you and I are talking off. I've been talking about it all morning. And I don't know how I got on this, but you look at polling and you look at exit polling the last few presidential races, and you see this. You see that the churchgoers, if you will, the Christian evangelicals is what the media call them for classification purposes, are becoming less and less involved in the political process. It's this chairman that I think you got to figure out how to bring them back in. That seems to be discussion in Republican circles. But it's also this, like, you see the net effect of this. Not only in the Republican Party with, you know, some of the abortion politics and, you know, Donald Trump in general, you see the Democratic Party as well. I mean, there are evangelicals who identify as Democrats, but look at, they've abandoned the Democratic Party, and look where the moral compass has gone on the Democrat side. I mean, it's way out in the ditch over there. What is it? I mean, do you sense this, that this level of disengagement? I'm not just talking about voting every 4 years, but sort of like being a part of the process, getting involved in politics. And you just get this sense from churchgoers that, it's not really my thing. I'm staying away from that. You don't want to make politics a deity or whatever. It's like, and I said this, we talk about this at church, you don't want to be out of the world, but you still got to be in the world. And as far as this world goes, that sort of segment of society is not being in the world at all.
No, look, it's sad to me when I look around, because it is another thing that is uniquely American was the foundation of the church in the foundation of our country. A lot of people remember Patrick Henry, his sermon, and that included "Give me liberty or give me death." And the church was very engaged in the early part of our country. And I think that's incredibly important because America, I'm going to go politically incorrect here, but whether people like it or not, whether Democrats like it or not, whether modern history teachers like it or not, America was founded as a Christian nation. And with that, it almost takes an understanding of the Christian faith to understand our founding fathers and their vision for America. And when you look at it through that lens, so much more makes sense. There are checks and balances. A lot of what they based theirs on was based on common law, which was based on natural law, which is based on the basic principles of God's law, needing witnesses, our legal system. Really, a lot of this goes back to the biblical values and vision for what makes good government. And I think if you look at it through that lens, it becomes so important that churches stay in the fight. And then not stay in the fight, lead the fight. I that's the thing about that makes me so sad with the modern church. Is I see that trend. I see so many people who almost look at politics as being ungodly or,
right.
It's dirty. We shouldn't get involved.
The church, we got to reconnect this. Like, government is all for and by the people. And if you want to make politics more godly, then you got to get in the game. You can't just walk away from it anymore, right? You have a civic duty, and depending on your view of the Bible and religion, and we can get into that some other time, but you almost have a duty to. And what you see is just it's a phenomenon, and I think you see it politically throughout the culture. I know that the culture drives politics sometimes. But by not being a part of that and not being a part of that political culture, this is where the country's going, and you just sense it.
Well, and a lot of people forget that Jesus engaged a lot with the political state of his day. He did not just ignore it. He absolutely called for reforms. He challenged the status quo. Look, I can say with confidence that Jesus Christ, as a historical figure, was a small government conservative. He wanted less taxes. We saw that multiple times in talking about even the sinners and the tax collectors. He hated corruption in government. He was very vocal on political items, did not shy back. And I would actually make the argument that his official charges that got him crucified were political charges. They were the charges of going against the Roman emperor and tax evasion. Those were his official charges. A lot of people forget that. He very much spoke out on political items and was ended up crucified for it. And God's nature does not change. And I think it's a very clear principle throughout scriptures that, you know, God says, when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. Well, if the righteous are removing themselves from the political process, how can they be in power? And I think you are absolutely right. This is a fundamental that the church must get back to if they're going to be salt and if they're going to be light in a time when it is most desperately needed.
Joined by Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall here on the program. We'll bring it back a little lower to ground level here and talking about the November election. Let's bring it real close to Alabama. What does CD2 look like right now, you think?
Well, you know, look, CD2, we are fighting hard. We've got volunteers down there. In fact, I was just looking over a new volunteer form that included CD2, trying to get as many door knockers and make sure we have the poll watchers we need in CD2. We're also, you know, spending, you know, our mailers, expenses. Dawson campaign is on TV. Like, we're fighting full court press. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have said from the beginning that my message remains consistent. We can't sugarcoat this district. It is going to be an extremely hard district to win. The courts designed it to be a Democrat district. But we're not going to just allow them to come in here and redraw it and not give them a fight. But this is a battle, and I need every single person out there. Look, go vote. Make sure you vote. We are a swing state in CD2. So make sure you go vote, and not just you. You drag your family, your friends with you. Of course, not if they're Democrats. Don't remind them to vote. But your Republicans, friends, and family, make sure they get out and vote, because this is going to be a hard district to win.
Yeah, and Politico has some polling out, and Chairman, and let's talk about that. I know we do this all the time as Republicans with the polls, but this is a hard district to poll, and I don't know that. You know, especially some of these national polling firms that try to come into CD2 and poll it, I don't know about their methodology. But all I can really base it on is this, and I don't know if this is a fair parallel. It's probably not at all. When Barry Moore and Jerry Carl were in their head-to-head, and all these polls just show Congressman Carl up by significant point spread, I think there's something to that. The more conservative are the more right of center, and for the sake of this discussion, Barry Moore is more right of center than Jerry Carl on a lot of things. But I think there's a silent or a polling segment or, you know, whatever. They just don't respond to polls. The pollsters haven't figured out how to reach them. And I think the more conservative candidates tend to underpoll. Maybe it's especially some of these national surveys. I don't know if you've seen this poll at Politico, but I mean, it's ugly for Dobson, but I still think this race is a lot closer than the experts say.
Yeah. I have seen that poll. I think you're right. I think they're off. I think she is still down, but within striking range. And that's the important part, because you brought up a very good situation back in the primary. And of course, the primary numbers are easier to move in general election voters, because they're all the same party. It's easier to pull in people who would be willing to change. What also came into play in that race in CD1 was turnout. And I think that's what people are overlooking here in CD2. A lot of this race is actually going to come down to turnout. Which side is more engaged? In a close race, you can have the polls can be accurate, But if one side is just a little more likely, by a couple percent more likely to come out and vote and actually care about our country and cast their ballot, that side picks up 2, sometimes 4% just based on turnout. And that can swing a closer election. But I think that's what we have to watch. And if we, you know, Caroline Dobson wins in CD2, it's going to be because of the hard work that everybody has put in and because the people cared. I mean, and the conservatives and the Republicans and the red-blooded Americans who love America came out and voted. That's what's going to make the difference.
Yeah, and you know, the turnout thing is and we'll wrap it up on this. The turnout thing is sort of a question mark to me. I felt like at times during this cycle, Republicans were roaring, ready to go, you know, and Trump's on the ballot, and that's going to be not just a feather in Dobson's cap, but I mean, just in general, it doesn't feel like we are 2 weeks from a presidential election. It may be a product of Harris getting in the race late. Can you sense the enthusiasm, or am I just so desensitized because I've been doing this so long?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Democrats are more—they are more excited about Kamala Harris than they were about Joe Biden, especially in the Black community. And I think that does play a role here in congressional district too. That being said, there's not a lot you can get excited about with the current policies of the Democrat Party, whether it's the economy, foreign policy, the border, how they're shoving wokeness down our throats and parents across Alabama, either party, are concerned about what their children are being exposed to. These are the things that it's very hard to get excited about a candidate who's pushing these agendas. And so I think a lot of this comes out, you know, down to, do Democrat voters believe Kamala Harris's message, or are they actually looking at her record? Because if they look at her record, they're not going to be excited about putting her.
Chairman, we got to wrap it up there. Folks want to get involved, especially these closing days. How can they do so?
Well, we want them, whether it's in Georgia, whether it's in CD2 or poll watching your local community, we want them engaged. Right on our home screen at our website. Sign up. Join the fight as we try to take back this country. It's ALGOP.org.
Chairman John Wall is here. And Chairman, once again, thanks.
Always good to be on the show.
All right, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mr. T.